The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Just walk out here, Brother Mason. Thank you, Miss Debbie. And Miss Debbie wrote that song. So they sang it before with the girls' home when they were here, I believe. Is that right? And she wrote that song, did a great job. Thankful for all of our music folks and the people that serve and write songs, like Miss Debbie, like my wife, others who do that. And compose, Mrs. Valdivia's, all kinds of folks are involved in our music program. Very, very thankful for them. But we'll get on with the sermon here. I'm going to try to be myself tonight. I'm not going to try to be anyone else. I am not anyone else. I am just me, and so I'll just be myself tonight. But I was talking to Brother Tino. He came to me right before the service, and he brought me this lapel mic. He said, "Are you going to need the lapel mic tonight?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't know if I want to be." Well, let me tell you a story. My first pastor, his name was Martin May Sr. He was the founder of our church here, and he was along the same lines, I guess you could say, of a Lee Robertson. And he never left the pulpit. He always stood right here behind the pulpit, and he preached into the microphone, and that was Brother May Sr. And now I have Brother Wells, who's all over the place. And so I'm not sure where I'm going to land tonight. I'll probably land mostly behind the pulpit, because that's just more of me, but I got this lapel mic just in case I escape, and so we'll be good, okay? But this sermon tonight, I'll be quite honest with you, I wasn't going to share this with you, but this sermon tonight was inspired by an offertory from Mrs. Cavanaugh and Mrs. Valdivia's. And I was sitting there listening to the offertory, then play it probably 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, and I got to thinking about the words of the song, "I Must Tell Jesus." You know, if we stop and we think about the words that we're singing more than we do, when we sing these congregational songs, there's a lot of truth in those songs. There's a lot of doctrine in those songs. There's a lot of encouragement in those songs. And so I started thinking about that and that song. And every time I think of a sermon thought, I am just kind of, I guess you could say, a geek when it comes to certain things. And I carry my phone with me, and I use my phone for everything. And I have an iPhone, and so on my notes, if you were ever to steal my notes, you would find all kinds of thoughts and ideas on my notes, okay? But one of the things is whenever I think of something for a sermon, then I'll write sermon thought, I'll give it a title and give the two or three things that I thought of, and I'll leave it there. And so when that took place that night, or actually during that offertory, I was writing notes on my order of service. You see me up here writing stuff down sometimes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But I need to talk to them about such and such. But most of the time, it's thoughts and ideas of things I can help. I wrote some things down that night and began to think on this subject and began to develop some thoughts and some things before I really knew that preacher was going to have me speak. And so tonight, I'm just going to, and it kind of fits into the Wednesday night Bible study that we've been going through as far as developing a closer relationship with the Lord. And so I thought, wow, this is great. And then I was planning and thinking on it even as of last Wednesday night. And then right before we walked out to come on the platform, I asked preacher, "What are you preaching on tonight?" And he said, "The joy of singing." And I thought, if he's talking about music and singing tonight, maybe I shouldn't be speaking on this "I Must Tell Jesus" next week. And so I listened to the sermon and I thought, man, that was so powerful. That was so great, and it kind of intertwines with some of the things he said, kind of, sort of, but not really, and so I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. I think that's what the Lord wants me to preach, and so here we are tonight. You know, many times when we think of walking with God or doing our devotions, our main thing that we think about is our Bible time, the time that we're supposed to sit down, open up our Bible, find our spot, and read our Bible, and listen to God talk to us through our Bible reading. But devotions and spending time with God is much more than just Bible reading, okay? You know, walking with God is much more than just reading our Bible. You know, we want to have a good relationship with the Lord. If we're going to have a good relationship with the Lord, then it requires some action on our part also. Okay, let me explain. If I was going to have, my wife and I have 5 children, ages 7 to 16. And so we love our kiddos, and every once in a while we'll try to talk to them. But that was funny. And so and we'll sit down and we'll talk to them, or maybe we're at the supper table, or maybe we're having some quiet time with them or something, just giving them some advice or some help. What if you, as a parent, were to sit down and talk with your children, and you were pouring your heart out to your children and telling them, "Man, I wish you'd do this. I'd like for you to do this, or pray for me about this, or man, I'm excited about this, or man, I'm really going through this, or man, I don't feel well," and your kid just sat there and just looked at you. never said, oh, I'm sorry, or okay, or yeah, that's good, or oh, I'll work on that, or but your kid just sat there and looked at you. That wouldn't be much of a relationship. Or how about husband-wife relationship? Maybe this happens to some of us sometimes, not on purpose, but, you know, your wife comes up and she's talking to you and she's telling you all these things, and you're all, I'm not saying I've ever done this, but you're off in some other world and you're thinking about this or that, and then, and she's like, are you even listening to me? I love you, you know? But you're not paying attention. And she's pouring out her heart to you, or she's telling you about this or that, or something that happened, or a frustration with one of the kiddos, or whatever took place, and you're just not there. That doesn't help the relationship, okay? But the same thing is with the Lord. When we read our Bible, that is when God talks to us. But if we don't pray, we're not spending time in prayer, that's a one-sided relationship. All it is this all the time. God's not going to say, oh, this is, okay. The Bible tells us about some people that walked with God, that were friends with God. Why was it that way? It was because they had this going back and forth. It was a two-person conversation. It was a two-person relationship. And so if my children never told me anything about their joys, their victories, their happy times, and all it was I was telling them about my joys and my victories and my happy times, but they never did, that would be a strained relationship. Yet when all we do is read our Bible and neglect prayer, that is exactly what we're doing to God. Amen. Then again, if all we do is pray and never allow God to speak, the Holy Spirit to speak to us and read our hearts as we read His Word, then this too is an imbalanced relationship with the Lord. Amen. So there's got to be a balance, okay? Bible reading and prayer. Prayer and Bible reading. Both are vitally necessary. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we are to come boldly unto the throne of grace. I just want to talk about that passage for just a moment. Now, we think of a throne, we think of a symbol of power. Kings and queens in the past, well, they sat on their throne, they executed judgment, they made rulings, they showed their authority when they sat there on the throne in the palace. Many times in the Bible is recorded that even if you came into the throne room without permission, remember the story of Esther? If you came into the throne room without permission, that you could be put to death. Now, yet when we read about the throne of God, He says, come boldly. It's not the same type of king or queen as you read about in the Old Testament. He says, come boldly. What does come boldly mean? The word boldly here means the following. This is a Bible definition of the word boldly. It means freedom in speaking. Freedom in speaking. Unreserved in speech. Free and fearless confidence. Cheerful courage. Boldness. Assurance. And plainly. So we are to come to the throne, to God's throne, and freedom of speaking. In other words, pour your heart out to Him. You know, some people say, well, I can't talk to God about that because I have a bad attitude about it, and I don't want to talk. David talked to God about things all the time he had a bad attitude about. And then by the end of the chapter, his heart was right. You know, it's like, but God, you this and this, and they did this, and you're not doing this for me. But then by the end of it, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, help me, you know, I'll pray for these people or something like that, okay? That's the Palmore version, all right? But freedom in speaking, unreserved in speech, free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, plainly. Now, going to the throne of grace should not be a fearful thing, all right? Going to God to talk to Him, to pray and to praise Him and just to speak to Him should not be a fearful thing. Now, I'm going to show, I was unsaved for 12 years of my life. So you have to forgive me, okay? But going to the throne of God is not like going to see the Wizard of Oz. Okay? There's not great fire and, what do you want? One. Come forward. There's nothing like that, okay? That's not what it's like when you... Don't be fearful. Okay? Don't run and jump out the window or something. You know what I'm saying? Okay? You don't have to worry about those types of things. Because the Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. All right? And it says, come boldly to the throne. And then it says, of grace. What is grace? Grace is favor and goodwill and kindness. Come boldly to the throne of favor. Come boldly to the throne of goodwill. Come boldly to the throne of kindness. Okay? The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find help, obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. So the throne of grace is set up for sinners. The throne of grace is set up for us to praise Him. And the throne of grace is there to help us find help. So the throne of grace is there for that purpose. And we should go boldly to it. Now, if it's supposed to be that easy for us to come to God with our needs and our praise, then why sometimes do we forget about it? I mean, we have... Okay, I'm going to go to the doctor, and if I'm very sick, I'm not going to go to the clinic up the street. I'm going to find me the best doctor that I can find. And I'm going to go to that doctor. Right? I mean, that's no-brainer, okay? We're going to, if there's a problem, then you're going to go, okay, you need some law help? You're going to go find the best lawyer that you can find. That's just common knowledge. That's what you do. So if you have a problem, why not take it to the one who knows everything about everything, everybody here on the earth, everything about you, every problem that you've ever had, every situation that you have ever been gone through before, or anybody else has gone through before, and he has all knowledge. Why not go to him? Why do we forget him? Well, could it be because we don't have the knowledge to do so? Well, we know we're supposed to pray. Could it be because we're proud? Could it be because we're not sold out to God? Now, all these things in concept, but let's look at a record in the Bible about a situation that pertains to this. And I want you to take your Bible, I want you to read along with me, and go to the book of 2 Chronicles. I was already planning this message, and I was actually reading my Bible, believe it or not, last week. And I was reading my Bible, and this story popped out. I was like, man, this is a great story for what I'm working on for my sermon. Thank you, Lord. And so I'm going to read it with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And this is about King Asa. King Asa was the king of Judah. He was the great-grandson of Solomon. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. That means there was no wars, there was no fighting. It was peace for 10 years. Can you imagine that in America? Peace for 10 years? Probably not until the, what is it called? After Jesus comes. Yeah, that's right there, okay? Thank you for helping me preach my message. The land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now they're going to define what he did. Verse 3, he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Boy, he was getting down to business. He was tearing down all those idols, all those places, all their houses of worship. He was cutting them down, breaking them down. Verse 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. I don't know if he was a preacher or not, but he was telling them to do what the Bible said and to follow the commandments. Verse 5, and also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So he's getting rid of all these idols. Verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, not the kind of bars you're thinking of right now. While the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Man, what a great king. Did all these great things for the Lord. He was just trying to get his country back to where it needed to be. Right on the right path of the Lord. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15, not only was he taking care of all those people and setting them straight, but look at verse number 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. He kicked his mom off the throne. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it in the brook Kidron. Whoa. I mean, he was just on fire. And he kicked his mom off the throne. No more Mexican casserole for him. Look at chapter 16. So, man, this guy's great. What a great king. Look at chapter 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. I don't know if he had athlete's feet. I don't know what he had. Maybe he had diabetes. Until his disease was exceeding great. And here's the key. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. What happened? I mean, this guy, he's tearing up Jack. And he's getting that country right, and he's putting them on a straight path, and he's preaching to them, and he's saying, stop this. He kicked his mom off the throne, said, you're not going to act that way. You're not a good example. And then he got a foot disease, and he didn't pray. It's like, whoa, what's the deal here? He was busy serving God. He was busy honoring God. But King Asa did all these great things for God, yet he even failed to go to the great physician for help. Let us not be so busy with the work of God that we forget about the God of the work. Just as our Bible reading should be habit, so should our prayer life. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. Now, I understand we ought to take the Bible literally, but I am also human. So I can't pray without ceasing, but I can, when something comes to mind, I can stop right then and pray about it. I don't have to close my eyes while I'm driving down the road and stop and pray. I can talk to God, but I ought to be a habit when something comes up that I'm going to say, oh, I need to take this to the Lord. Small or great, and pray without ceasing. Don't let it just be at a scheduled time when it's time to eat or when it's time to go to bed. Pray without ceasing. So with these thoughts in mind, tonight I'm going to put a sermon in song, or perhaps a song in a sermon, however you want to put it. When the role of great preachers is sometimes called, the name Elisha Hoffman is usually omitted. Nonetheless, as history was verified, Mr. Hoffman was a mighty servant of God. His messages still reverberate. He was a natural musician, although his musical education was limited. He gained knowledge by personal application. Hoffman's first impressions of music came from hearing songs being sung in his home. And both his parents had pleasant singing voices. It was their custom during family devotions, both morning and evening, to sing one or two hymns. And at an early age, the Hoffman children became familiar with these hymns and learned them so well they loved to sing them all the time. Their lives were marvelously influenced by this little service of song in their home, and they created a taste for sacred music. Hoffman later became a minister. When he was not working in his study, he could often be found chatting with the poor folk in homes across the tracks. One day, he visited the home of one of his parishioners in the hills near Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Sorrow and affliction were also frequent visitors there. And he found the mother in depths of mental anguish. He counseled her and quoted verses from the Bible, which he thought would console her. However, she seemed to be unable to rise above her distress. He then suggested that she could do nothing better than to take all of her sorrow to Jesus. And this is what he told her. You must tell Jesus. A light broke across her face and she cried, yes, I must tell Jesus. And so she did. After a period of prayer, she rose from her knees with a brightness in her face. And Hoffman left immediately with the words, I must tell Jesus, ringing in his heart. And as soon as he arrived at home, and while still under the influence of his experience, he wrote this song, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my trials alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. He wrote that song after that experience with that lady. And I think it's a very, very powerful song. If you stop and take it and you think about it, and you sing it and think about it from your heart as you sing it. But why do we tend to tell others about our problems and forget about the Lord? Why do we tend to tell our friends about our troubles, and many times it never even crosses our minds to stop and tell Jesus? I must tell Facebook all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. In my distress, somebody kindly might help me. Facebook can help me, Twitter alone. Why do we do that? Now, I'm not against you talking to folks about some trials or some troubles or getting some help or getting some counsel, but why do we automatically run to these people without going straight to the Lord first? What happened to him? Why do we do that? Number one, we should tell Jesus about our trials. We should tell Jesus about our trials. Many times in life we go through things that seem too, they just seem to go on forever. And that's what you'd call a trial. It's like something that never ends. This is a trial that never ends. You know that one? Sorry, my brain thinks in music. Okay. So we go through these trials, and a trial is something that puts strength and patience of faith to the test. Something like a health complication, or maybe a relationship problem, or financial issues, or personal trials. You know, sometimes trials are short. Oftentimes, they're long. And when you're going through a trial, feel free to share it with those that can help you if you wish. But you must tell Jesus. Amen. Number two, we should tell Jesus about our troubles. I said a while ago, trials. And you said, Brother Palmore, what's the difference in a trial and a trouble? A trouble is something that might be considered a small thing. Something like an inconvenience or an annoyance. Maybe traffic.
Well.
Okay. Or a headache. Or something minor. Or maybe a need. Just a simple need. I'll tell you a story. I told this in Sunday school, I think, somewhere I've told it. I put a praise post on, I'm not going to put, I must tell Facebook about my trials, but I will put a praise post on Facebook, and I put this on Facebook, perhaps you read it. But I was in need of some shoes, and it wasn't a matter of not having the money to do it, it's just a matter of not taking the time to go get it taken care of. And so, because it hadn't rained in a long time, and so I was going to be fine, right? No issues, no water's going to come through. So as long as when I crossed my legs on the platform, I put my hand right here, nobody ever saw it, okay? Why does Brother Palmer put his hand on his shoes? That's why, okay? And so I was needing some shoes, and one night, your kids always come to you late at night. Well, after you put them to bed, and you tell them, go to bed 30 times, and then they come to you with a good reason to be out of bed, finally. But one of my kids came to me and said, Daddy, I just don't think God's answering my prayers. Well, you can't say, go to bed. At the end, it's like, Dad, I'm not sure I'm saved. Go to bed, I've told you 30 times, okay? You can't do that. So I'm not sure God's answering my prayers, Dad. And so Mrs. Palmore and I tried to encourage this child and say, God does this, and here's some Bible verses, and da-da-da-da-da, and it just didn't seem to click, and so I said, well, let's do this. Let's pray, me and you and Mom, about me getting some shoes. Let's pray that God would give me some shoes. It was an annoyance, but it was something minor. And I said, God can give me shoes if he wants to. So we prayed for about 4 weeks, and then we decided to make it a matter of family prayer. When we would drive to school in the mornings, we'd have prayer time in the van. We have about a 15-minute drive from Segalville to here. And so we'd have prayer time in the van. And I would tell the kids, hey, there's some things you can pray about today. Pray for Dad, for God to give Daddy some shoes. And we didn't tell anybody about it. It was just a family prayer thing. Right at the Monday of Baptist Leadership Conference, I got a text from Preacher. After we'd prayed about 6 weeks, I got a text from Preacher on the way, on our way up here for the day, for school, for the conference. And Preacher said, somebody's just dropped off a box load of shoes and suits, and come see if any of them fit you or your boys. And I told my kids, I said, I wonder if this is the answer to prayer. And so I sent my kids into school, and I took the one child with me that that we had initiated this thing. And we went in there, and not only did God give me a pair of shoes, He gave me two pair of shoes, a black pair and a brown pair. Nice shoes. This was one of them. And he gave my boys, my little boys, like 3 or 4 suits. Now, I didn't tell this. And this came from a man in Florida who was coming to our Baptist Leadership Conference who I've met twice. I don't even have his cell phone number to text him. I had to get his number later to find out how to contact him and tell him thank you. And he almost didn't come. I believe he came for one purpose, because God was using him to answer that prayer. That's a minor thing, but God can answer that. So God can answer our trials, and we should tell Jesus about our troubles. before you tell your spouse or your best friend about that inconvenience or annoyance that you're dealing with, ask yourself, did I tell Jesus? Be sure to tell Jesus about your troubles. Number 3, we should tell Jesus about our temptations. Now, we know what temptations are. That temptation for that extra snicker. Well, now, that's minor, but to some it may be, not be. But temptations to do wrong, temptations to be worldly, temptations to sin. And there's nothing wrong, with you seeking help or counsel about temptations you're having. But why not include the God of all creation in on this? Don't leave him out. You must tell Jesus. He can give you victory over your temptations. And number 4, and I'll close with this, we should tell Jesus thank you. It's not in that song. The song didn't say it. But the Bible tells us we should. We should tell Jesus thank you. You know, it's probably been a few months back now. I was having a hard time with something, nothing sinful, nothing like that. I was just like, man, I wish this would just go away. And I didn't even pray about it. You know, God is omniscient, and he knows our thoughts. And so I was driving, and I was thinking, sometimes it's good to turn your radio off and your CD player off and just drive and think and pray and talk. I wasn't even praying. I was just frustrated, to be honest with you. And so I was like, man, I wish this problem would just go away. And no joke, a minute and a half after I thought that thought, I got a phone call. And somebody told me that problem wouldn't be a problem. They told me what we're talking about it, and they said basically what they told me is it's no more a problem. I didn't even pray about it. But God's omniscient. And I stopped right then and there, and I said, thank you, God. Thank you so much. I didn't even ask you for it. You just knew my thoughts. You knew my wants. You knew my desires. Thank you so much. I'll tell you another story. We're refinancing our house right now. And if you're looking to refinance right now and you have some equity in your home, prices in Dallas-Fort Worth have skyrocketed. And so we're looking to refinance to take some advantage of some things. And so we're praying that my house would appraise at a certain level. And to be quite honest with you, me and my wife, we were pretty nervous about it, appraising at the level that the mortgage lady said it would. And so I'm like, oh, my, I'm not sure it'll appraise for that much. And she said, I think it will. And I said, I don't know. And so she got a realtor, and they did all the comps in the area and said, it'll appraise for this, I promise you. And I think, it's going to cost me some money to do that appraisal. And if that appraisal comes back low, then the whole thing's off, and I'm stuck with the amount of that appraisal. And so I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I said, okay, we'll do it. And we're praying, dear God, please. We don't want to lose that money. And so I even asked my mom and my dad to be praying about it and told them where we wanted to appraise at. And they came and did the appraisal yesterday, and I was surprised. I got an email this morning, 7:38 this morning, from my mortgage lady. It's like, wow, that's great. And she told me what it appraised for. It far exceeded what we had been praying for. And you know what I did? I went straight to my wife, and I said, hey, I was out on the back porch. I had just finished reading my Bible. And then I checked my email. And I got hey, it appraised for this. She said, wow, I can't believe that. I texted my mom and dad. I said, hey, it appraised for this. Whoa, this is amazing. I texted somebody else who I told her I was trying to pray about it, and they live in the neighborhood. And wow, this is great. I already prepared this sermon. I forgot to tell the Lord thank you. Brother Palmer's a sinner. I did. I got to thinking, I got up here in the office this morning, and I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. I can't believe God answered. I didn't tell God thank you. I told everybody else thank you. I didn't say a word to him. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? So many times we ask God to help us and bear our trials. We tell God all of our troubles. We ask God to deliver us from our temptations. And when he does, what do we do? If we're not careful, we'll just go right along with our day as if it was something that we're able to do on our own all along. And he didn't have anything to do with it. When God answers the big prayers, do you tell him thank you? We tend to tell God thank you on the big things, more than the little things. When he answers the little prayers, do you tell him thank you? When God answers your thoughts and desires, do you tell him thank you? He does have something to do with it. We've all heard the story about the grateful leper who was healed and came back to tell Jesus thank you. And I've sat in Sunday school classes as a kid, and I thought, man, all those other 9 people, they were rude. They didn't come back and tell Jesus thank you. He healed them. That's terrible. I can't believe those people did that. And I did it this morning. I didn't tell him thank you. We've heard about that. We think badly of those 9 lepers, yet so many times we're able to identify with them for our lack of gratitude to Christ. And when you go to the Lord about something, be sure to tell him thank you when he answers. When you get that blessing, be sure to praise him for it. Hey, how about this? If God answers a prayer, tell him thank you first. Then put that on social media. Dare you. Praise post. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details and tell you all the gory details of what happened. And I may just say, hey, God answered a prayer today. Praise the Lord. But you're going to inspire others to think that way. So, when God seems to just answer a desire or thought, that too is God being God, and tell him thank you. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Let's stand. I have every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.